What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Joining us now, Javon Alford from Fansided, Dairyland Express writer and content creator over there. Javon, how are we doing today, man?
I'm doing good, fellas. Glad to be on talking some ball with y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just got done. We just wrapped up talking a little bit about the NFL playoff picture in the last segment here, Javon. I'll ask you this, even though I think I know the answer. What game are you looking forward to the most this weekend?
For me, obviously, it's Ravens-Bills because you have the two MVP candidates going at it in Lamar and Josh Allen, but also looking forward to seeing what happens between the Eagles and Rams to see who meets up, you know, and advances to the next round. So those are my two games I'm really pinpointing on.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Both the games tomorrow are going to be awesome. Let's get into that Eagles-Rams game, because that was one that we seemed like we had a little more disagreement on. I think that this Rams team, Javon, is dangerous right now. And I think that there's always a team that becomes a shocker to get to where they are and gets hot at the right time. And it really feels like LA is playing for their city right now and poised to make something dangerous happen in the playoffs. Am I overreacting to the LA Rams, or is there real cause for Philly to be worried about an upset?
I think you're not wrong in your assessment, because I think the way that the Rams played last week was impressive. Like, no bones about it. Granted, the Vikings looked horrible in week 18 against the Lions, but the way they were able to dominate in the trenches and on the defensive line with Jared Verse, with Kobe Turner, with Byron Young, able to get pressure on Sam Darnold, what, sacking him 8-9 times and just harassing him? Like, whenever you get a defensive performance like that and defense can't carry you in the playoffs, it makes you a threat. And then you add the combination of Sean McVay and Matt Stafford in the playoffs. Like, they've had moments in the playoffs where they can, you know, and Stafford has shown that he can, you know, bring a team, take them to the promised land and get them to NFC title game. So this won't be an easy task, you know, for the Eagles game. We'll see how the weather affects this game with there being snow in the forecast during and throughout the game. But it won't be easy for the Eagles, especially with how they looked last week against the Green Bay Packers. The offense needs to get better game plan and stacking plays. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a physical game, I think, between both of these teams.
Javon, you write for Fansided, Dairyland Express, but you grew up in Philadelphia. Going back to that game last weekend, I know it had to be a little bit conflicting for you watching that one, being a writer for the Packers, being an Eagles fan. But looking at that game from both sides, it didn't really seem like either team played their best game. Most importantly, the Packers. What was one thing or a couple things that you noticed from that game that probably would have changed the outcome for this Packers team had they made that change at some point during the game?
I feel like that game was a great defensive battle between the coordinators in Fangio and Jeff Hafley. I think Hafley did a great job of really making that Eagles passing game almost pedestrian and, like, really, like, you're not going to beat us over the top, right? We're going to keep everything in front. We're going to get pressure. And the Packers' defense was able to get pressure. I think for me, it was the offensive side of the ball where Jordan Love just didn't look comfortable. The offensive line, I think, didn't do a good job of holding up. Then you had the injuries. He didn't look like the game plan, I think, from Senevage wasn't so much of let's stack plays, let's try to get him into a rhythm. He never had that. I mean, the only bright spot, I think, from the offense to me was Josh Jacobs, the way he ran the football and how they got him involved in the passing game late. In the second half, I wish he did that a little bit more, you know, to get the offense going, to get Love going, to get him into a rhythm. And maybe that would have changed things. I mean, granted, you didn't have Christian Watson, Jaden Reed gets hurt, but you still had Tucker Kraft, you still had Dontavian Wicks as well.
Right. You talked about Jordan Love's performance in this game. Not his best on the season by far. Beginning of the season, he started off a little bit rough. And then at about that halfway point, you kind of saw Matt LaFleur take control of things and take control of this offense and kind of put Jordan Love into the positions that he needed to be versus letting Jordan Love get and make the plays that he wanted. How did you feel about Jordan Love's season in total? Do you feel like he improved over the course of the season? Do you feel like he was kind of stagnant compared to last year? How are you feeling about Love at this point?
I think based off of what he showed last year, it almost mimicked this season in the fact that this year he started out, like you said, started out a little bit rough, had the injury early in the season when we saw Malik Willis come in. But after we got past that point of the bye week from week 11 on, you look at what he did in the last eight games, you're talking about a 65.4 completion percentage, almost 1,600 yards passing, 10 touchdowns, one interception, right? Almost very similar to what he did last year in the last eight games. Granted, the completion percentage was way up at 70.2. He had 18 touchdowns, still the one interception, but almost 2,000 passing yards. So I think for Love, I think it was a lot of twofold, because I think he was putting the ball in right places. The receivers weren't making catches. And when you have, you know, the constant, you know, you have Christian Watson getting banged up. You have, you know, Romeo Doubs, you know, missing time, you know, with the concussion earlier in the season, misses, what, two or three games, comes back. And then, you know, the passing game just not clicking the way that we saw last year, where Jaden Reed, you know, was getting those yards after the catches, you know, yards after the catch, and guys are making plays. It was uneven, but I don't think it's nothing for cause of concern. You do like that the turnovers kind of decreased in the second half, because I know that was a big thing with Packers fans. Like, oh, my God, like, right, turning over the ball. He has, like, eight interceptions in, like, eight games. Like, so the fact that he cleaned up the turnovers, it gives you a lot to lean on going in next year. But I would like to see if they can maybe get him another weapon to go into that wide receiver unit for next season.
Speaking with Javon Alford here of the Dairyland Express and Fansided. Javon, let's go back. Let's keep talking about this Green Bay Packers team. We were talking about it earlier in the show today. Jeff Hafley getting an interview with the New York Jets. First of all, I don't think there's any reason to be too concerned, right? It sounds like he's just getting an interview. It's only over there. The Jets have probably interviewed someone you're related to. That's how close they've been, deep they've gone into their head coaching interview bag. Now, if Jeff Hafley is able to do what he did this year, next year, where do you think he would be as a head coaching candidate? If he can do this 2 years in a row, how nervous should the Packers be that they might lose Jeff Hafley just as quickly as they got him, really? Because this year, to turn around this defense after having the Joe Barry and Mike Pettine experience, Hafley stood out a lot, in my opinion, and he was a huge part and a huge addition to this Green Bay Packers team. I mean, if he's able to do this again, how worried should they be that he's gone?
I would be at a scale of 1 to 10. I probably would put it at a 7, because finding a good defensive mind in the league that can do a lot of different things with different pieces, as he showed this season, that's very attractive. And if there is a team that's looking to next year, around this time, looking for a defensive-minded head coach, how don't you take an opportunity, you know, to interview him and see what he can bring to the table and to your organization? As you mentioned, you know, coming out of college, you know, to come into a situation and kind of revamp what Joe Barry, you know, couldn't do, right? He did a great job, right? We saw Packers, you know, trading away Preston Smith, that opened the door, you know, for Lucas Van Ness and Brenton Cox Jr. to, you know, to really make plays off the edge. And Cox Jr., I think, was probably one of the biggest, you know, surprises, how he was able to get pressure off the edge. Granted, not a ton of sacks, but able to get pressure. And then what you see what he did with the rookies, it was just tremendous, right? Edgerrin Cooper went healthy. making plays in the secondary, turning this defense into an opportunistic takeaway defense. Like, there was a point in the season where you can always count on this Green Bay defense to get a turnover, to get a takeaway. And that's credit to what Jeff Hafley is preaching, what he was able to do with Xavier McKinney, almost turned him into a defensive player of the year candidate, moving Javon Buller from safety into the slot position and kind of reshaping that secondary with the injury to Jair Alexander. Now, granted, it didn't work out so much, you know, with Keyshawn Nixon on the outside, who's more suitable in the slot, and he had Kerrickson Ballantyne on the other boundary corner. He still was able to do some things. Evan Williams as a fourth rounder, making him productive and having him make plays in that defense. There's a lot to like about what Hafley did with, you know, a lot of different young pieces. And if he can do that again with these young pieces in year two, and then maybe Green Bay adds more in the draft or in free agency, I would be worried to see where he might go next year, because he's young enough and he's putting himself out there. And obviously, whenever you get that interview, it's like, okay, teams are looking. He's on our radar, not for this team, but maybe for other teams down the road next year.
I want to stick with this defensive back group, Javon. You talked about Jair Alexander's injury. Keyshawn Nixon has been in reports a lot recently over this past few weeks because he thinks he's a cornerback one and not a kick returner anymore. Jair Alexander doesn't even want to speak with the media. How does this cornerback room look going into next season with both those guys' futures kind of up in the air? I mean, Keyshawn Nixon's on the team, but where he's going to be playing is going to be different. Jair Alexander may not even be on the team. Where do they go with this group moving
forward? So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Forward.
It's a weird good problem to have, right? Because you can never have too many quarterbacks, too many solid cornerbacks. You know, with the Jair Alexander situation, I know, you know, there's an out potentially in this contract for 2025 on SpotTrack. They point this out there. But when you listen to what, you know, GM, you know, Brian Gutekunst had to say, you know, after, you know, on a Thursday, the frustration, he, you know, came out and said there is no frustration with Alexander. You know, it was frustration from both sides, you know, this season because he just couldn't get on the field and he couldn't stay healthy. And it's hard, right, when you have a guy, when healthy, he's a Pro Bowl cornerback, right? But you don't always hope, you don't expect to have a guy only playing 14 games over the last two seasons. That really puts you in a bind. So if I had to make an early prediction, I think they find a way to keep Alexander. Like, if he can be healthy, that really helps, you know, that helps your defense. Like, you can go in to next season with your cornerback one and you figure out what to do at cornerback two. At CB2, do you still go with Carrington Valentine? Do you look towards the draft? Do you look towards free agency to fill that void? Because I don't think, you know, Eric Stokes will be back next year, you know, given his just up and down tenure, you know, in Green Bay. So I think they find a way to keep Alexander. Nixon's very interesting because of his comments. He don't want to be a kick returner, even though before the season he was very excited about the kick return rules and, you know, showing off
right.
his skills. I don't think he's a CB1 yet. Maybe you try him at CB2, but with the emergence of Bullard, you know, at that slot position in his athleticism, it's hard. I would be really interested if the Packers would decide to move him, you know, based off of if you believe Alexander can be healthy, can return and be that guy to solidify the one side of the field.
Speaking with Javon Alford of FanSided and Dairyland Express, you can find him on Twitter at Javon 10, J-O-V-A-N 10. Javon, I want to keep talking about Green Bay, and we've talked about it. I think it's a bold, maybe hot take that Jair Alexander will be back with this Green Bay Packers team. It just feels like some relationships, you know, it's just best that both parties move on, all right? And maybe mutual disagreement isn't really a fair argument here because it seems to be initiated by one party and then the other is going to reciprocate. But let's say Jair is gone, right, Javon? What is a realistic and important team need here for this Green Bay Packers team? And what do you think they target? How do you think they target it? Do you think that this is a market in the free agency where we might see Goody do a similar approach to last year and try to get a guy on both sides of the ball? Or what do you think they target in the draft? Because obviously, when you don't win a Super Bowl, you need to rework and try to get there. What is that first piece that comes to mind that if you give Green Bay this, they got a shot next season?
That's a good question because there's different ways to approach it. Like you said, you could do what they did last year, getting Jacobs, getting Xavier McKinney, which really helped them on both sides of the ball. For me, I would like to see them go after a wide receiver one. I would like them to go after T. Higgins and put him in this offense to be that guy, to be that big body wide receiver who can stretch the field, who I think would be a great complement of guys to what they already have, you know, in this wide receiver room. To be honest with you, I think having a T. Higgins on the outside allows, you know, maybe more Jaden Reed in the slot, which is with his athleticism and, you know, quick twitch ability, that's a really, you know, nasty combo. And then Romeo Doubs comes back, that's okay too. So I would love to see them, you know, potentially go after, you know, a T. Higgins, maybe Amari Cooper, depending on how that goes. But I definitely think they need to add a wide receiver, specifically a veteran one. I don't think they need to draft any more, you know, wide receivers, even though they've been really good with that. Then defensively, if Alexander doesn't come back, if they move on and, you know, either cut him or, you know, try to trade him, cornerback market's very interesting. I know the options, there's some good options out there. Would the Pack GM, you know, would he go out and spend the big bucks on Asante Samuel Jr., right? Would he try to go and poach Byron Murphy from, you know, Minnesota, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent, you know, to get there? So those are probably the two things for me that stands out, cornerback and wide receiver, then probably my third on the list, which can all be interchangeable, getting another guy on that defensive line, a pass rusher, right? This pass rushing class, you know, with coming out in free agency is pretty solid. You know, if guys like Josh Sweat, you maybe want to go in the middle defensive line, Milton Williams with the Eagles, Matt Judon, I think, going to be a free agent. So those are kind of be the three things that I would kind of try to figure out on the Packers and try to attack those things and then go from there.
Yeah, I mean, the defensive line free agency can be deep when you look at the Green Bay Packers no matter what, because it was non-existent, it felt like, this year. I'll bring in the 20th best free agent to get something to change up at least at this point, because if I had to guess, I mean, that's the most disappointing group this season, right? The defensive line?
Yes. Yes, because what you were able to get out of the rest of the back seven, right? Even though Quay Walker didn't have the year I think everybody expected to, you found something in Edgerrin Cooper in the second round. Then you were able to find guys in the secondary, young guys at that, right? Rookies and Bullard and, you know, Williams and then even McKinney, you know, really solidifying that, you know, that safety spot and being an upgrade over Darnell Savage, right? Really transforming that defense. It's the line, right? Where can you get pressure at, right? You know you have Kenny Clark there. Rashawn Gary didn't live up to what everybody thought he would, you know, this season. So trying to get another guy opposite of Gary or in that middle to pair with Kenny Clark is so imperative because you just look at the division the Packers are in. You're going against the Rams. I mean, not the Rams, excuse me. You're going against the Lions. You're going against the Vikings. You're going against the Bears. You know, the Bears' offensive line wasn't great. You still have Caleb Williams and those guys over there. So you've got to go after the defensive line and address that.
Talking with Javon Alford of Dairyland Express and FanSided. You also write for BetSided. You're also writing for basically everywhere on FanSided when it comes to football. You're talking a little bit about college football, too, when you write. The college football championship is happening this Monday between Ohio State and Notre Dame. I got to ask, who do you got in this game?
Oh, this is tough because Ohio State has been – they flipped the switch ever since that loss to Michigan. They really went on this, you know, mission, and you got to give credit to Ryan Day. You got to give credit to what Will Howard has, you know, kind of done over these last few weeks and really just been locked in into a zone. But if I had to pick, I'm going to go with Notre Dame.
No way. This is going to be TCU Georgia all over again.
I wouldn't say that just because this Notre Dame, granted, we know what Ohio State has on offense and defense, right? Jeremiah Smith, who's probably going to be, you know, a future first-round pick in the next few years. What they have on offense, even defense with Jack Sawyer, is impressive. But we can't sleep on what Notre Dame has, you know, done this year. A team that, obviously, they flipped the switch after they lost to Northern Illinois earlier this season. Riley Leonard, you know, has been playing good football, you know. Even though it wasn't, like, super spectacular against Penn State, still very good. You've got to factor in his you know, position as a plus one in the run game, too. And then you got Jeremiah Love. I wouldn't sleep on the Irish, you know, in this game because they have – both of these teams are very good on both sides of the ball and in the trenches. So if I had to make a pick, I'm going with Notre Dame, but I think it's going to be a great game. I don't think it's going to be TCU, Georgia. I think both of these teams are going to give us a game that's something to remember.
All right, well, I'm not sleeping. I'm hibernating on Notre Dame, that's for sure. I'm rooting for Notre Dame. I don't believe in rooting for your conference. I am obviously a Badger fan through and through. I'm not rooting for the Big Ten to get money to come to Wisconsin because all I know is they're just going to spend it on a new concession stand, and no, we're not going to get a quarterback next year, so it doesn't really matter to me anyway. But I would love to root for Notre Dame. And Marcus Freeman, very likable guy, and what he's done for the program looks awesome right now. But I don't see it. I don't see it at all. Charlie, are you on Ohio State side right here on this?
I got to be. I'm a Miami fan, you know, so I can't cheer for Notre Dame.
Right, yes. Javon, thank you so much for joining the program today. Plug your stuff, man. Tell us where we can find you, where we can find some of your stuff you're working on, what you got in the works right now.
Yeah, no problem. I really appreciate you guys. Appreciate y'all for having me on, as always. You can follow me, you know, on the platforms, Jovan 10, on Twitter, Blue Sky, still is Jovan 10. Like you said, FanSided, all the local sites pretty much, Section 215, Dairyland, Factory Sadness, all the local sites pretty much over there. I'm on FanSided.com, and yeah, that's how you can stay in reach with me. So appreciate y'all for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much again, Javon. We'll have to have you on again after Notre Dame loses by 40 to Ohio State next week, I'm thinking.
We'll see.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.